And now we're going to jump into something that I feel is very important.
This is a study by David Cloud. It's called Give Attendance to Doctrine. It's going to probably be a lot more teaching than anything else. This is something I would use in our Bible Institute. If you would grab your Bibles, open to John chapter 7, and verse 17 is where we want to be. So this will probably be a lot more teaching. But let me just say, this is something that can ground you in the Word of God. This will be good for every one of us in here, myself included, to always be reminded of these things. Now, some of the students in the Bible Institute are going to recognize some of this stuff and say, hey, I've learned that. And that's good, because what it does is the more we hear it, the more it builds in our lives. How many of you have noticed, have you ever like gone to class and your teacher teaches you something and then they give you a pop quiz the next day and you know nothing? Has that ever happened to anyone? Some of us in here? Yeah, because you have to sometimes hear things more than once for it to begin to stick. And so that's what this is. And I want to ground you all in sound doctrine. This is what will make us and keep us. I believe we already are a strong church, but I don't want to lose that. And it's teachings like this that will keep us a strong church as we learn doctrine. We're going to learn what doctrine means and all that. But some of the doctrines that we're going to look at include the Bible, the inspiration of the Bible, and I may elaborate more on that than what's in this book. I don't know yet. We will see. We're going to learn about God, the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, man, sin, death, salvation, resurrection, Satan and demons, angels, hell, and heaven. It's going to deal with, as we go through these topics here, it's going to deal with practical ways that these truths are applied. It'll bring it down to where we live. And that's when the Bible becomes really effective in our lives. And that's where we want the Bible to be. We want it to be effective in our lives. I don't like when I come to church and I've done it before. I've gone to church for a long time, for months, and not been convicted. I don't like that personally. I don't feel like that's even healthy for me, to come to church and not be convicted. Now, a lot of people, that's what they want in a church. They don't make me feel bad about the things I do. I want to be comfortable in my sin, but I want a cloak for my sin. I want a covering for my sin. And that's not helpful or beneficial to any of us. So we want practical Bible teaching, practical Bible truth that will help us to make decisions for the Lord, that will help us to live for the Lord. Otherwise, why are we here? If we don't want that, why are we here? Are we just playing religion? Because, I mean, there's 1,000 churches in this city you could find to do that at. So honestly, doctrine will keep us on a solid path, on a firm foundation, if I can. So that's why we're going to go through this study. That's why we're going to look at these things. So we're there in John chapter number 7 and verse 17, and let's read that. John 7:17 says, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. This is Jesus speaking. He says, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. And that fits very well with the two previous memory verses we've had, John 8:31 and 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. See, a lot of people, a lot of Christians even, and I will say Christians, I'll say saved people, they enjoy living in bondage. They want to live in bondage, and they think it's liberty. That's a sad thing. That's what really saddens me about where a lot of Christians are at, is they think they have liberty, and they're really in bondage. And the liberty that they can have, they think is bondage. See, that's not biblical thinking. I'll just tell you right now, if that's what you're thinking. If you're thinking the things that the Bible teaches, the things that the Bible says, well, I can't do this, I can't do that. If you're thinking that it's bondage, then you're already off base from what the Word of God teaches. And I challenge you, if that is your attitude, if you're here right now and that's your attitude, and you're thinking, well, you know, I can't do this, I can't do that, you guys are a bunch of legalists, or whatever you may be thinking, or I just can't do anything going there. If that's your attitude, then here is what I challenge you to do, and I'll guarantee almost with 100% accuracy that if that's your attitude, you're not going to do what I'm about to tell you to do. I'll almost guarantee you won't do it because you don't want to know the truth. But if that is your attitude on some topic, then get in the Bible and study it out and see what God says about it. Find God's mind on it and see if that what we teach is not right. I'm serious. Find if what God's word says is truth or not. Now, people that have the attitude of, oh, no, I'm not doing that. That's, you know, I'm fine where I'm at. Their hearts already deceived them into believing a lie. They don't want to know the truth. They don't want to know what God's word actually says. They want to know what they think God's word says. But they don't want to actually know what God's word says because most of the time they know that they're wrong. When someone will fight and argue about what's clearly taught in the Bible, they don't care about truth. They don't love truth. And if that's our heart's attitude, see, on the outside, we can look like everything's great and everything's good. But if on the inside we're being rebellious, then that's only to your own hurt and to all of our own hurt. So Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." If we want true freedom, true liberty, we don't want to feel like we're in bondage, then we need to follow truth. We need to walk in truth, walk in the light. Now, any of us have been walking around even maybe our own house at night and the lights are out and you end up kicking something, stubbing your toe, tripping, whatever. And why did that happen? Because you're in darkness. Because you can't see what's around you. You're like, I think I have a good idea. How many of you have thought you've had a good idea in your own house before and you still bump into the table or something? I've done that before. I thought, oh man, I thought it was a foot farther over and just bam, I hit it. You know, busted my shin or something. See, I thought I was right. See, that's how it is when we don't want to walk in truth, when we don't want to walk according to the Word of God. No, I think I got this right. I'm pretty sure this is how it should go. But when it's not according to truth, we're just going to hurt ourselves. And that's a silly illustration, but there's like real life serious consequences to it when we are not willing to follow God. You're on a path for disaster. I'm just telling you, when you're not willing to follow God, you're just going to hurt yourself. That's all you're going to do. So what I'm doing right here even is I'm warning you because I love you. I care about each and every one of you in here. I love you and I don't want to see you go down the wrong path. I don't want to see the devil destroy you, which is what can happen. So I hope we would see the importance of Bible doctrine. I hope we would understand the importance of this and not just see it as some, we're a church, of course, this is what we do. No. This will impact your life if you'll let it. But it all comes down to the attitude we have coming into it. Do we have an open mind to receive the Word of God? Are we like those in Thessalonica and that they received the Word of God with all readiness of mind, or Berea and Thessalonians 2, it talks about them. They received it as it was in truth, the Word of God. Is that our attitude? Are we receiving this as it is in truth, the Word of God? That's what we want to do. So we're looking here at the importance of Bible doctrine. Now, the word doctrine simply means teaching. At its baseline, that's what it means, teaching. Bible doctrine, therefore, refers to the teaching of the Scriptures. God's people have always had an emphasis upon sound doctrine. Always. God's people, throughout the ages, you can see it throughout the Bible, always had an emphasis on sound doctrine. But today, doctrine is often downplayed in favor of ecumenical unity. Now, who knows? Let me rephrase. Who doesn't know what ecumenical unity means? Okay, ecumenical unity. Ecumenism is the idea of everything that calls itself Christian. Let's just, you know, put down our differences. Let's tear the walls down. And let's build bridges to each other on what we do agree on. You know, some people would say, look, there's those within Christendom that say that baptism is necessary for salvation. You have to be baptized to be saved. There's those that say that. There's those that teach that, you know, you have to baptize, okay, sprinkle little babies or pour water on little babies, and that's baptism. And there's those like us that believe what the Bible teaches in believer's baptism, full immersion of a person who has made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ. Okay, and they'd say, well, let's just put all that aside since we can't agree on it, and we'll just agree on these fundamentals. Ecumenical unity says, let's forget doctrine and let's just come together on the few things we can agree on. And as you do that, you can look through history to see what's happening around us. As you do that, the list of what we agree on is less and less, so we can push more and more of the Bible out. So really what happens is, for the sake of our unity and our feelings, we push aside the Bible and we say, I don't really care what truth is. And that's prophesied in the Bible that The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Okay, that's what we see happening before us today. So, today doctrine is downplayed in favor of ecumenical unity. Let's just all come together. Let's get the Catholics, the Presbyterians, the Methodists, the Lutherans, the Baptists, the Bible churches, the Calvaries, the Sagebrushes. Let's just all just come together because we all love Jesus. And how dare you say anything against what they're teaching? They love Jesus. That's ecumenical unity. We're going to forget doctrine for ecumenical unity. Well, this group over here preaches in tongues. This group over here believes you got to be slain in the Spirit. Well, we don't believe that. We believe tongues cease, but just ignore that. You don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. They love Jesus. You sure? If you love me, keep my commandments. See, the road gets narrow when you start actually walking in the light. It's a pointed light. It's like a flashlight. It's a beam. That's how the Word of God is, or likens it to this, a lamp. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. A lamp just puts off a very small radius of light, and God says, this is my Word. It's not way over there. As soon as you step away from that lamp, you're now in darkness. That's not what we're to do. But see, here's the problem is what happens is we let our emotions get involved. But I want this. But so-and-so says this. You guys are too narrow-minded. We are pretty narrow-minded, I'll agree. We are. Because we follow doctrine. Because doctrine's important to us. If it's not important to you, and I mean this in all sincerity and I love you, but if it's not important to you, why are you in a church like this? Why are you attending a church like this? Because there's 1,000, I could recommend 20, not recommend them, but I could tell you, hey, go to this one, go to that one, go to that one, go to that one. They don't believe the Bible. They don't care what the Bible says. But they'll act like they do and they'll tell you they do. So go over there. They're all over the place. But when it comes down to what the Bible actually says, they're not willing to follow it. See, we ought to love the Bible, the Word of God, with all our heart. You say, well, I can't keep all that. I mess up. I sin. Hey, amen. Join the club. So do I. Doesn't mean we shouldn't strive to walk in the light. I mean, just because you're walking around in your house and you bust your shin and you're like hopping around and trying not to cuss and it doesn't mean you stay walking in the dark. You go find the light and you're like, stupid thing, what did I hit? I mean, you find the light so you're not going to do it again. Let me do it to my other leg now. That's foolishness. Why would we do that? Why would we do that? No, we're not going to do that. Let's go turn the light on so I'm not still in the dark. See, when we mess up, it's like, man, maybe I should be in the light so I don't do that again. That hurt. I don't want to do that again. Why'd I do that? I think a lot of us here have some scars from sin we've been in. We say, ouch, I don't want to do that again. Amen. Let's walk in the light. This doctrine. The following statement by singer Pat Boone, who's a charismatic, typifies the attitude toward doctrine that is common among ecumenical Christians, those that want us all to come together, okay? And when I say Christians, I use the term loosely. They profess to be Christians, okay? Here's what he said in August of 2001. Doctrine divides. Experience unites. We don't all have our doctrine all completely correct, but God doesn't judge us on our understanding of doctrine. I mean, that's the siren should be going off right there. I hope the siren's going off for you. If the siren's not going off for you, let me just tune back in. Come back right here. Tune back in. Pay attention to what I'm saying. If the siren's not going off for you, there should be a problem based on what he said. Now, if you say, I just got saved, I don't really know, I don't see what's wrong with it, then that's okay, we're going to teach you. That's why we're doing this. That's why we're going through this. But when he says, we don't all have our doctrine all completely correct, well, he's right. I don't think one of us does. We strive to have it correct, and that's why we let the Bible correct us. But this part's wrong, but God doesn't judge us on our understanding of doctrine. I beg to differ, and we're going to see why. We're going to look at some of the reasons why. So how important is doctrine? According to the Word of God, sound doctrine is extremely important. The two Greek words it's translated from in our Bible, didaskalia and didache, if I said those right, are also translated teacheth and learning. So it's something that needs to be taught, and it's something that needs to be learned. All right, these Greek words are used more than 140 times in the New Testament, which shows how important doctrine is before God. It's pretty important to him. He uses it a lot. Doctrine and its companion terms are referred to, get this right here, 59 times in 1 and 2 Timothy alone. just in two books of the Bible, and they're not very long. The truth is referred to 10 times in 2nd and 3rd John alone. That's only two chapters, by the way. 2nd John's one chapter, 3rd John's one chapter. It's not very much, and it's referred to 10 times. The Apostle John said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Walk in truth. That's what the Apostle John wanted. He uses the word truth a lot. You can read through the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and he mentions truth a lot. He says, my greatest joy is to hear that my children, those I've led to the Lord, are walking in truth. That's every preacher's greatest joy, is to know that those he teaches, those he reaches, are walking in truth. That's what we should all strive for. This is important before God anyway. 1 Timothy 1:3 says, let's go ahead and turn there. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3. All right, when you get there, say amen. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3. God has this to say to us through the Apostle Paul. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia. Get this, he says, Timothy, here's what I want you to do. That thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. No other doctrine. So, does he think that God's not going to judge us on our understanding of doctrine? Does Paul think that doctrine's important? What say ye? Is doctrine important to God? If they should teach no other doctrine, then that means there's false doctrine. And here's what makes you a bad guy. Is when you begin to name false doctrine. Because the people that practice it don't like that. If you want proof of it, look at what happened to our Savior. Those that practice false doctrine had him crucified. Now we understand, yes, he died to pay our sin debt. But when you get into what it was the religious group. It wasn't the lost heathen. It was the religious people, the ones that should have been teaching doctrine. It was the religious people that had false doctrine, that had twisted and corrupted and perverted the scriptures. It was those people that were the instigators of his crucifixion. That's what it was. Doctrine is important to God. And he says, he told Timothy through Paul that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Don't teach other doctrine. You stand on what I showed you, Timothy. 2 Timothy 2:2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Timothy, no other doctrine. The things that I committed to you. That's what I want you to teach to other people. It's that important to God. All right, other terms which refer to doctrine. Truth, the faith, wholesome words, sound words. These are all terms that refer to doctrine. If it's teaching, it's Bible doctrine, then it's truth. So can we know sound doctrine? In the previous quote by Pat Boone, he said, we don't all have our doctrine all completely correct, but God doesn't judge us on our understanding of doctrine. The Lord Jesus Christ, though, said that a believer can know sound doctrine. That's a verse we started off with in John 7:17, that you can know doctrine. You'll know the truth. God says we can know the truth. Let's look at it again. John chapter 7 and verse 17, if we would, please. Now, I want you to interact with me, okay? I'm going to ask some questions. I want you to answer back. Don't be afraid of getting the wrong answer. It's okay if you get the wrong answer. I do want you to interact with me. It says right there, John 7:17, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. So what was the condition of knowing the doctrine? Help me read it. It's right there in the verse. Doing his will. Doing his will. This is why we say often, you know, Jesus said through the author of Hebrews, you know, in Hebrews, they said, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So to do his will, God works on this principle. If we are going to truly follow him, then God expects us to do it by faith. And here's how God's economy works. God says, obey first, and then I'll show you. Now, our human nature is the exact opposite. I know mine is anyway. I can't answer for all of you. But I know for me at least, I want show me first and then I'll do. Because that's easier. Well, if I could, God, if you'll just show me how this is going to end up, it'll be a lot easier for me to do it. Can you show me, you know, the end result here so I know what's going to happen? God says, no, I don't work like that. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. The just, meaning those that are justified, those that are forgiven, those that have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, the just shall live by faith. This is how we're to live. This is to be the manner of our life. Us as saved people, we call ourselves Christians. We say we belong to Jesus Christ. Then the manner of your life should be one of faith. And faith is not, you know, just like blindly just doing things. Faith, biblical faith, is to follow what God's Word says. If you shall do His will, you shall know of the doctrine. Obey me first, God says, and then I'll teach you. Interesting. You say, well, how do I know what God wants me to do? Just the few things you do know, maybe. Do those. Obey what you do know, and God says, I'll show you more. That's how He works. Obey what you know to do, and God will show you more. If you want to learn more of the Bible, then obey what you know you should be doing. It's that simple. So we can know sound doctrine through obedience. God expects us to know it. We can know if a doctrine being taught is of God or whether a person speaking of themselves. Jesus said that. If any man will do His will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. We can know if doctrine is of God or if it's of men. But we can't know it unless we're first obeying Him in what we do know. And then God says, I'll show you more. I'll teach you more. See, there's a lot of people with a lot of wisdom out there that know a lot of what the Bible says, but somewhere in their life they decided to stop obeying God. And God shut the lights off on them. He says, I'm not showing you anymore. And they've stopped growing. And they might be brilliant men and women, but because they stopped obeying God, God stopped showing them some things. If a man is open to the truth and willing to obey God, the Lord will give him wisdom so that he will be able to discern sound doctrine from false. Proverbs 1:23 says, turn you at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. God says, I'll make it known to you if you turn at my reproof. We know sound doctrine through continuing in God's word. We saw that in the memory verses, John 8:31 and 32. Jesus said unto those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Same principle. Obey me, and I'll teach you more truth. You'll know the truth if you obey me. Now let me ask you this. Why would God require a Christian to rightly divide the word of truth unless He would give him the ability to do that? 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So you study to show yourself approved unto God so that you can rightly divide the word of truth. So why would God give us that command if He didn't expect us to be able to know sound doctrine, to know the true from the false? You know, to rightly divide, that's a division. Remember, they said doctrine divides. Amen. Amen. It's supposed to. Rightly divide the word of truth. There's truth. We can know it. We can know the truth. So doctrine, biblical doctrine, will help us divide truth from error. It's called discernment. Another word for it is judgment. To judge. To discern. I look at what is being taught and I say either, I make a judgment, a discernment. I say either yes, that's based on truth, or no, that's a lie. That's what we do. That's what doctrine helps us to do that. And God expects us to do that. So if God wants us to rightly divide the truth, doesn't it make sense He'd give us the ability to do it? So how can we know truth? Help me. By studying, amen. By studying what? God's Word, amen. The Bible. The Bible. Doctrine. By studying doctrine. We know sound doctrine through the Holy Spirit. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 2, please. 1 John chapter 2. That's going to be backed by Revelation, 1 John chapter number 2. And we want verse 20. When you get there, go clap your hands twice. All right, I'm just making sure you all are awake. All right, 1 John 2:20 says, "But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth." So he says, you know the truth. That's why I'm writing unto you, because you already know the truth. Wait a minute. They can know the truth? So we don't want to have to walk around in the dark? No, he's given us the light of his word. We can know the truth. And the people John's writing to have mostly just heard preaching. They didn't have the whole Bible compiled together like we do. What a blessing that is. What, thank God for that. Hey, man, I can't imagine having a time when, you know, you just have a portion of the Bible and everything you're doing is based on that. Look, can you understand why sometimes some of these groups that were actually true Christians, they were, you know, true churches, how they could be off in some doctrine because maybe they only had portions of the Bible and they followed all of that and they couldn't compare everything like we get to? That'll kind of help you understand how maybe they can be off on some things. Because they didn't have everything that we have. They didn't have access to all the Bible at times. It was illegal to have it for most of them. Just like we read about last week. Still today. So no lie is of the truth, and we know the truth. Verse 27 also says, "But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him." So what anointing? It's talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost able to teach you. And if you would, go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we want verse 12. First Corinthians 2:12. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." So we haven't received the spirit of the world, but the spirit of who? Of God. Okay, now verse 13. "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the," who? "The Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." The Holy Ghost teaches us. How does he teach us? By comparing what? Right. Spiritual with spiritual, scripture with scripture. That's how he teaches us. Just like we just did right here. We went from 1 John to 1 Corinthians 2. We're comparing scripture with scripture and allowing the Holy Ghost to teach us. We're comparing light with light, truth with truth. See, we get a little light here and then it's like, I don't quite get it. And we shine a little more light over here and a little more light. And now it's like, oh, there's the table. I don't want to run into that. Does that make sense? That's what we do, comparing scripture with scripture. The Holy Ghost is the one that teaches us. He reveals it to us. How many of you have been in your life and you've been reading through the Bible, you've been reading through something, and you've read it maybe 10 times and you've never understood what it says, and then you come across it that 11th time and all of a sudden the light bulb goes off and you get it? That's the Holy Ghost teaching you. That's the Holy Ghost teaching you. Amen. A lost man doesn't have that. You can keep reading. Verse 14, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned." So let me just throw this out here. We're talking doctrine. As you begin to engage your family or lost people as we go share the gospel with them, don't argue with them over Bible doctrine. Just save yourself the time, the breath, the energy. Now, there may be certain doctrines you need to deal with because that's the false religion or the false beliefs that they hold to. And you may need to use some doctrine to prove to them that their beliefs are false in that area. But don't get into big doctrinal debates with a lost person. They don't have the Spirit of God to teach them. Save yourself the time. Don't waste your breath. Preach the law to them. Bring it back to that. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The law is our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. Let the law condemn them. Let the law do its job. It condemns. It condemns. That's what the law does, and let's use it for that. "If then the ecumenical philosophy is correct and a believer cannot be certain of sound doctrine, The commandments and promises of God make zero sense. They don't make any sense if the ecumenical philosophy is correct. So we have to ask ourselves, are we going to follow the philosophies of men or the Word of God, the Word of truth? This should be an easy answer, but guess what? For so many, it's not. Because, hey, we'd say, oh, those false religions out there, they don't get this, they don't get that. Okay, let me put it to you like this. Do we follow then the philosophies of my own heart or the Word of God? Do we follow the pull on my heartstrings of my family, of my coworkers, or the Word of God? See, that's where maybe for some of us that are in a church like this, where you're getting the truth and you'd say, yeah, I see those groups are false. Okay, what about your own heart? When your own heart disagrees with the Word of God, what do you go with? What do you choose to follow? You ever sinned against your own conscience? Anybody in here? I can say I have sinned against my own conscience before. More than once. Because God was telling me, don't do that. And I did it. We can do that. And then you know what we can do right after that is we can seek to justify it. We can start looking for ways to say, well, I did it because of this. Well, I had to do it. You know, I had to compromise on my beliefs. I have to have a job to keep my family, to take care of my family. Well, I can't take that stand. I want to reach my family. I don't want to offend them. That makes sense, doesn't it? I want to bring somebody into the light. I'm trying to bring my family into the light. So in order to bring them into the light, I'm going to leave the light and step into the darkness so I'm just as blind as they are. Is that how it works? That's not how it works, is it? And what if you lost your child? Say you're camping, you lose your child in the mountains. They go off to play and they're not too far. You know, but the sun's going down. And then the sun sets and it's dark and you can't find them. Anybody ever almost lost their kid or lost their kid before? We have. Okay, we've almost lost them. We've never lost them, but we've almost, like, have you ever had that panic hit? I mean, just like, it's like in an instant, it's on you and you're just like, ooh. I mean, just your heart's like, boom, 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 boom. If you've ever almost lost your kid or you thought you lost them. I remember one time, Janessa, where is she at? That girl's not in here. All right, I remember one time Janessa, she was probably Desiree Howell. You know what I'm talking about? She knows exactly what story I'm talking about, a little monster. All right, I'd play hide and seek with the girls a lot when they were little. And I'd teach them. I was like, no, don't say anything because I just mess with them. And, you know, they're little, so they're, I think she was probably like 4. Desiree was like 2.5, 3, whatever, 5, 4, 3, right around there is where the age they were. Okay, and I would teach them. I'd say, when we play, don't say anything. Don't say anything. And I'd be like, Janessa, where are you? And she'd always give herself away. She's like, I'm over here. And I'd be like, don't do that when we're playing hide and go seek. So finally, she decides to listen to me. All right. And it wasn't even me and her playing. It was you and her, right? Was it Esteban too? Or it was just you and her. They're at grandma's house. I went to pick her up after work. Okay. And she's hiding. And now she finally decides to start listening to me. And I'm like, it's time to go. And I'm like, Janessa, come on out. And Desiree knows where she's at too, don't you? Yeah, Desiree knows where she's at, okay? My kids finally decide to start listening. No, I'm just kidding. They're pretty good. But they decide to start listening at this point. And Desiree's not saying a thing. And it's like, at first, Janessa, where are you? And we're kind of walking around the house looking for her, you know? And then just, it's taking like 3-4 minutes. You've already done the sweep of the house. You've gone through every room. And now you're starting to get a little more worried. And the sweep happens again, this time a little more detailed. And now, like, full panic mode has set on. I mean, my heart's like, ba-boom, 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 because I don't know where she's at. She's not coming out. We're calling for her. We're hollering for her. We're asking Desiree, Desiree, do you know where she's at? I don't even know what she does. She's probably just like, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know what she was doing. But, I mean, this kid is, like, lost. We don't know where she's at. I mean, I run outside and I start looking down the street. I'm like, I want to see if there's any vehicle so I can at least know what to look for. I run, they have a ditch at the backyard. I run around the block to go to the ditch and I'm looking for her. I'm hollering for her. And then finally I hear someone say, here she is, we found her. And I mean, I just ran inside and she was in an entertainment center in the little bottom cubby and she didn't come out. And I was just so happy that I just grabbed her and I just hugged her and just held her. And her uncle was like, you should have beat the daylights out of that kid. Because all of us were scared. I mean, we were freaking out. I mean, that's the type of panic I'm talking about. You're in the mountains now, okay? We're done with that story. So you're in the mountains. Your kids disappeared. You don't know where they're at. The sun has gone down. Now, you just start running out in the dark, don't you? No, you grab a flashlight. You're going to grab a flashlight. So you can shine the light on the darkness. You're not going to do much good running out in the dark trying to look for them. You won't see nothing. You're going to need some sort of light. You just get lost yourself. You take a light to go find them. And that's what it is. Yes, we want to reach the lost. But we don't leave the light in order to reach them. We take the light to them. We shine the light on the path. As we go to reach them and say, here's where you need to be. Here's the light. Here's the beam of light. Here's where you need to be. Come with me. And we bring them in the light. We don't leave the light behind. See, we don't leave doctrine. We don't leave truth for the sake of reaching people. We take the truth to them to reach them. That's what Jesus meant when he said, go into all the world. That's what he meant. So some other facts about doctrine. We're to continue in the apostles' doctrine. It was one doctrine, by the way. Acts 2:42. The apostles filled Jerusalem with their doctrine. I've got the references here if you want to see them. Acts 5:28. I'm not going to give us all the references. There's so many. We're saved by believing the right doctrine. We're to separate from those who teach false doctrine. Romans 16:17. It's a protection for us. And in this ecumenical atmosphere that we are in today within, at least within America, and it's pretty much most of the world, this ecumenical atmosphere that we're in of just accept everything and everybody and forget doctrine, this verses like this, like Romans 16:17, are set aside, which say to mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. I'm telling you right now, when you do that, you are a bad guy. You're mean, you're unloving, and you're hateful. When you do that, you just be ready for that. If you start talking to family, you start saying, no, that's false. You can't be a part of that. Well, I can't be a part of that. They're going to start calling you names. They're going to say you're mean. You're angry. You think you're better than them. All this stuff is going to be thrown at you. That's why we have to ask ourselves. I'm telling you, when the heartstrings of your family starts tugging at your heartstrings, how come you're doing that? Why are you doing that? Why don't you do this anymore? Why don't you do that? You know, and our response is like, we want to be in defense of ourselves. When really, it's like sometimes I get so tired of it. I'm like, well, how come you love the devil so much? Why are you mad at me because I stopped drinking? Why are you mad at me because I stopped going to the bar? You know, why are you mad at me because I won't go to Sin City? Why are you mad at me for those reasons? Why are you still doing that? Many of them, you profess to be a Christian. How come you're playing with the devil? Why are you holding hands with the devil? That's what it should be. But you know what? We typically don't do that. Why? Because we do want an open door. We do want to reach them. There's a time that maybe you need to do that, but not always. But we shouldn't feel bad for standing for the truth. We shouldn't feel bad for marking and avoiding those that cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. We need to be careful of false doctrine, Ephesians 4:14 warns about. Let's go here real quick. 1 Timothy 1:3. I don't know if we looked at that or not, but let's look at it again if we haven't. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3. I think we looked at this already. That's okay. 1 Timothy 1:3 says, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some, get this, that they teach no other doctrine. Must have been pretty important then. No other doctrine. The preacher's to give himself to doctrine. The preacher's to take heed to doctrine. Preachers who labor in doctrine are to be rewarded. Sound doctrine is to be adorned with godly living. The Bible is given for doctrine. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The Bible's to be preached with sound doctrine. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Doctrine. Doctrine's to be preached. The last days is characterized by a turning from sound doctrine. A turning from sound doctrine. They're going to heap to themselves teachers having itching ears and shall be turned unto fables. The preacher must be able to use doctrine to protect the church. Our doctrine's to be uncorrupt. We abide in Christ by sound doctrine. Get this, this is important. True Christian love is grounded in truth. True love is grounded in truth. You're going to have that thrown at you. You don't love people. Charity rejoiceth in truth. True love is to speak the truth to somebody. Let's put it like this. And I know this has been a tired, worn out illustration, but it illustrates it so people get it. If you knew a bridge was out, wouldn't you warn people that the bridge was out? I mean, would you be like yelling and screaming? How about this? If you knew a building was going to be imploded, and you saw someone running in, would you start yelling and screaming at them, "Hey, don't go in there"? Or would you say, "Well, I don't want to hurt their feelings. I don't want to be rude. What if I offend them?" See, that's how many Christians are today. I don't want to offend somebody. I don't want to be rude by telling them that what they're doing is wrong. Well, would you be concerned if someone was going to run into a building that's about to blow up? And you started hollering at them, "Stop, stop, don't go in there, wait, wait, that building's going to blow, don't go in there." I mean, you might even run after them and grab their arm and start dragging them back. If you cared. If you loved them. See, the love, true love, biblical charity will tell the truth. Not comfort people in a lie. Religion comforts people in a lie. Just go to your average funeral. Everyone's saved. Everyone's going to heaven. I mean, everyone, seriously, everyone. That's what I believed when I was lost, for the most part, except like Hitler. You know, maybe Stalin. You know, the real bad guys. You know, those guys went to hell. But for the most part, everyone else got too. You know, murderers maybe didn't go, depending on the situation. I mean, but other than that, everyone got to go to heaven, basically, is what I believe. That's most funerals. They just comfort people in a lie. Somebody dies, "Oh, they're in a better place." No, they're probably wailing and gnashing on their teeth right now. Right now. And everyone at their funeral was a good man or a wonderful lady. Doubtful. Doubtful. See, that's truth right there. Don't be deceived just because something holds the name of Christianity that it's good, or because they use the name Jesus. What Jesus? The Bible talks about another Jesus. What Jesus? If it's not according to truth, it's not the Jesus of the Bible. This is why I say the Catholic Church is a false religion. They have another Jesus. My Jesus is not still on the cross. My Jesus didn't need his mom as a co-redeemer. The Jesus of the Bible didn't need those things. See, that's rightly dividing. That's dividing truth from error right there. And some of those statements I made, people say, "You hate Catholics." Where did I say I hated Catholics? Help me. Where did I say I hated Catholics? Anybody else ever heard that by speaking the truth to them? Some of you, if you've got Catholic family, you probably heard that. "You hate Catholics." Who said I hated Catholics? I never said I hated Catholics. Can't stand what their church teaches. I hate their church. I don't hate them. I want them saved. Man, I'd even like the priests to get saved. I don't hate Muslims. I want them saved. Hate the devil they follow, but I want them saved. I don't hate them. See, it's not hate to tell the truth. True Christian love is grounded in truth. The apostles' greatest joy was to see Christians walking in the truth. We saw that. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And those who abide not in sound doctrine, 2 John, 9 through 10, really 9 through 11, are not of God and are not to be received. Doctrine's pretty important to God. It ought to be important to us. That's why we're going to go through this study on doctrine. We're going to learn some doctrines. We're going to learn what the Bible says. I hope it can be a blessing to us. All right, let's